I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Many ways, 46 days in, America is less strong, and the Iranian regime, which is, by the way, more radical than it was before, can it, on some level of truth, say we just took on America and Israel and fought them to a tie, although maybe even more than a tie. They have ballistic missile capabilities. They have closed the strait. Their regime is more radical. And I can just say, as I mentioned earlier, if we were to go after their enriched uranium, it would take 10,000 soldiers guarding a perimeter for days. And then we are going to send our special operators in, and the Iranians could bomb that.
There is an Iranian sympathizer. He is supposedly a U.S. senator from Virginia, Mark Warner. But you listen to him speak, we're losing the war. Iran is winning. He says Iran could basically declare it is winning. We have troops in theater, downrange, in harm's way. And here we have a U.S. senator saying, we're losing. We're not doing anything here of any good. I'll quote him directly for you. The Iranian Senator Warner, 46 days in, America is less strong. Really. And the Iranian regime is more radical and stronger than before. Really. Thank you for speaking out on behalf of the Iranian regime that terrorizes the world with various terrorist cells, executes its own people in the streets, and more importantly, and the issue as to why we are really trying to shut things down with Iran is nuclear enrichment, to have a nuclear bomb. Iranian Senator Warner, do you want a nuclear weapon in your backyard delivered express from Iran? You know, we just don't have the character. We don't have the character that we used to have. And it's been slip, slip, sliding away for some time. You would not have heard a single senator or congressman or any American say during World War II, we're losing, we can't win this, we should just walk away. Let Germany and Japan take over the world. But right now in our midst, we have these, I'm going to use a phrase, I've already called him an Iranian Senator Warner. We have these traitors, treasonous speaking. Well, they would not put themselves at that. They say, well, you know, we're solid Americans. Stand behind the troops. You hate Trump, I get it. I know you hate Trump. I know you hate him. We all do. In the sense of knowing that that's what you want. But not everyone does hate Trump. But aside from that, he is our president at a time that we're trying to protect the world. And, of course, members of Congress are rushing to find a way to invoke a War Powers Act and shut everything down. But again, to quote the Iranian Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, 46 days in, America is less strong and Iran more radical. And winning, basically. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA. I remind you, we're here for you every day, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m. And with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. We make sure that when you finish this hour, and every hour, you have more knowledge than you did when we started. In our next hour, details, sordid details of what Swalwell was doing to women. Now again, in many of these cases, it's her word versus his. But Swalwell was quick to assume that the women that were claiming Kavanaugh had sexually abused them and was part of a chain gang of rape, basically. Not one of them had a shred of proof. Not one of them could even validate some of their basic understanding of when and where did this happen. But he was saying, listen to the women, believe the women, as did all the other Me Tooers out there. I have two daughters. I do care about what happens to women in this situation when they're under the control of a powerful person and fearful. If they speak out then, they don't know what kind of repercussions they could face. So I'm not taking this lightly. And I cannot tell you for sure that every woman speaking out against Swalwell is telling the truth. I can't tell you that. But I will point to the history of Swalwell saying, believe the women. Now it's back in his face. Later this hour, Adam Schiff, the architect basically of everything they could to try to create the Russian collusion hoax along with Clinton and Obama, and Adam Schiff carrying their water for them. Could he face some criminal charges before all of this is over? Jonathan Turley, Georgetown professor of law, addresses that issue. And our story behind the story, it was on this date. On this date, April 15, that the RMS Titanic went down. 1,500 souls lost. That's our story behind the story later in this hour. In the meantime, back to Iran and the Middle East and the blockade. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard is now threatening to block shipping beyond the Strait of Hormuz, saying if the U.S. continues blocking our Iranian ports, well, we're going to block, quote, any exports or imports in the Persian Gulf, the Sea of Oman, and the Red Sea, claiming that they can do that. They can't do that. They cannot even protect the Strait of Hormuz if we put all the pressure on. There's still talk that there might be additional peace talks within the next day or so. And I don't want to spend time spinning our wheels with them. But again, here comes a Mideast expert, as he's billed by CBS, saying, you know, we look at what's happening right here and he's pretty close to thinking the same way as Senator Warner. Are we really making an impact? Are we winning or losing?
I think the Americans came in with a sense that this was going to be very quick, that they were going to be able to get the Iranians to give in because the Americans are more powerful. The Iranians are really interested in being in a process, it seems to me. They are willing to give up some small things. They really want to be in a process. It feels to me like the Iranians are sending signals that they want to talk. The Americans are sending signals they're willing to talk. We'll talk about the terms. We'll talk about how long. But that will get us away from the war and towards solving the war and opening up global trade.
Is that emblematic of the larger war, the U.S. going in thinking it'll be quick because we have a larger, mightier military?
We thought a lot of things were going to happen very quickly. Nothing happens quickly with the Iranians. It's partly because they're pretty resilient. They can take a lot of pain, and they think they can take pain more than we can, partly because they're not democratic. They're not really worried about elections.
More than that.
They're buckling down. They've been preparing for this kind of conflict for 50 years. We see it as a sort of speed bump before midterm elections. Their bet is that they could wait us out, and it's not clear that they're wrong. I mean, I think that the Trump administration really wants to figure out, is there an off-ramp, and if there is, how do we explore it?
I say that as another Iranian sympathizer. Yeah, they don't care about death and everything, not for their people or even their leaders to that extent, because they believe in the holy virgins that they're going to have at their death. They don't care about lives of their own people. If you thought we were going to go in and be wrapped up immediately, I'm sorry that you had that illusion. I didn't. Neither did Trump, Hegseth, and the rest of them. Yes, Trump said we'll get it over quickly. Of course, that was a hope. He's going to speak that. Now we're 46 days in. We're close to 60 days, which is a threshold for do we or do we not continue, and is there a War Powers Act that could be enacted? But you know what we're seeing and what we're hearing already? The pain, the suffering of Americans. Look, if you are having trouble with fuel prices, food prices, rent prices, I do feel for you. But it's not all because of Trump and what he's doing now. He gets back to what the Democrats were pushing when they were in control and power. They wanted you to pay more prices, higher prices. They wanted you to suffer. They want you to suffer. Remember? Close the coal mines. Shut down all the gas mobiles. Want you to suffer. Once again, I'll call him by his true title, Virginia Senator Mark Warner.
Donald Trump says, you know, we have beaten Iran. They control the Strait of Hormuz. They have hundreds of speedboats that they can put mines and bombs. And the idea that somehow America is going to blockade the southern end of the strait, we are now looking, not my words, but the worst energy crisis in our lifetimes. I'm old enough to remember the oil shock of 1973, that gas prices will never not come down shortly. The natural gas, the fertilizer costs, the fact that many Asian nations are shutting down their economies one day a week because they can't get access to this oil means everything we buy will go up. This man who promised us no foreign wars and better affordability has been the opposite.
And remember the president that was going to make things better for us, Joe Biden and Obama. Where did they leave us? And as far as the oil price is going up, I've told you, expect that to an extent. But Trump is gone now, of course, with his decision to take out Maduro. We're getting oil from Venezuela on a daily basis. I want you to listen to Chevron oil executive at a Louisiana refinery.
We're bringing in Venezuelan crude to lower the price to our consumers. We're running this facility 24/7. We're doing it safely, and that's how we can lower the price to Americans. There's a conflict going on in Iran that's impacting prices, but the things we're doing is to try to drive that down.
What do you think is the lesson at this moment from, you know, what we are seeing in the Middle East for companies like Chevron and other suppliers having experienced what we experienced in Venezuela? Is the message that we need to rely more on oil from this hemisphere? I mean, and when will Americans start feeling those impacts?
Well, I think the lesson is that energy really matters, and it needs to be affordable and reliable, okay? And that's why we have to keep investing in infrastructure, investing in capabilities, and companies like Chevron need to keep finding these products and getting them to their customers. It's not okay that people are paying high prices. It's not okay that in some countries they're running out of products because they can't get it. And it just reinforces the need for energy is important, and it needs to be reliable and affordable. This refinery was built to run that crude because it's a good resource, it's close, and that's how we run this refinery. Now we're running about 100,000 barrels a day, so this will last us about 4 days. Okay, that ship has to. We have to have a ship like that come in every 3 or 4 days to supply this refinery. That's helping Venezuelans bring revenue to Venezuela, and it's helping Americans. This ship is lowering prices in America because we have access to a new supply point that we didn't have previously.
Point made. Senator Adam Schiff, behind the Russian collusion hoax, along with Obama and Clinton. Always pushing lies after lies, and Georgetown University professor, law professor, Jonathan Turley.
Schiff was viewed as one of the most political chairs of that committee in its history. And this is a truly chilling account, if true. Now, when I first read it, frankly, I was taken aback because it's perfectly moronic to commit such a felony through with a planning conference meeting with staff. That's not usually how things are leaked in Washington, D.C. What makes this different is that this was a statement made to FBI agents. The person who made this statement was no doubt aware that lying to FBI agents is not just a crime, but a crime that was repeatedly prosecuted during prior administrations, including the Obama and Biden administrations. So making this statement puts you at risk. That's why someone's lying here, and someone's a felon.
Yeah, someone's a felon. That was a whistleblower that told the FBI, look what Schiff is doing behind the scenes. He's making all this up and ignoring real facts. And as Jonathan Turley said, someone is lying here. Now, could this lead to criminal charges and prison time for Senator Schiff?
This is a very significant punishment. You can have, in addition to having multiple counts, you can easily go 10 years in terms of a sentence, if not more, depending on the circumstances and the number of violations. Each of these leaks is an individual violation. Each of these documents would likely be charged as a violation. That type of count stacking is precisely what Mueller and others did. Remember, these are these are very similar to the types of claims made against Donald Trump and Mar-a-Lago, that he removed material and improperly stored them. There were also allegations that he might have revealed them to third parties. But this is much more serious in one sense. Trump was accused of negligence in most of these counts. This would be a premeditated criminal act to release classified information to damage one's political opponent.
Again, Jonathan Turley, Georgetown law professor. Adam Schiff was constantly, as in the Congress, during all the hearings against Trump, releasing classified intel information, according to the whistleblowers. Now, who do you think lied to the FBI? A whistleblower who came forward or Adam Schiff? I'll leave that to you. Coming up, Drew Thomas Allen on the entire hoax involving the Clintons and Obamas and everybody else. Plus our story behind the story. The most luxurious liner going onto the seas, sinking, the Titanic. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS, renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS, renewalbyanderson.com. It's that time of season when families' businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so earlier we were talking about Jonathan Turley raising questions about Adam Schiff and how much he was involved in creating the Russian collusion hoax, carrying the water primarily for Biden, for Obama, for Hillary Clinton, and everybody else on the left. Well, my guest, Drew Thomas Allen, is author of the book Clinton Hoax, Obama Coup: The Declassified Story of the Trump-Russian Delusion. Also a columnist at the Daily Signal. Drew, glad to have you on board with us.
Hey, always good to be with you, brother.
Well, you know what? As you pointed out, this all started, and I'm glad you make this point, because I often called her when she was running as presidential candidate, Hillary Benghazi Clinton. And you said that is part of what was involved as well.
Yeah, I mean, the impetus of Trump-Russia collusion really goes back to Benghazi for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, the architecture of, you know, weaponizing the intelligence community kind of begins there, right? Because it's a re-election season for Barack Obama. Benghazi happens, and he's trying to protect his re-election chances. And so he has the CIA. It comes from his White House, the Oval Office, not from the State Department. He has the CIA scrub the talking points in the memos 12 times and then send Susan Rice to lie and say it was not a premeditated terrorist attack. It was, you know, it was a spontaneous protest based on a video. So you see Barack Obama's hand, right? His willingness to obliterate the intelligence agencies to serve a purpose. But, you know, if you hadn't had Benghazi, you wouldn't have had subsequent investigations that revealed Clinton's illegal private email server. And you also wouldn't have had, you know, Peter Schweizer's book, Clinton Cash, that exposed her pay-for-play while she was Secretary of State. So when she came into the election season in 2016, you know, she was desperate for some kind of distraction to get her out of that situation. And Barack Obama, of course, was a willing participant.
All right. Well, forgive me, and I'll wash my mouth out after I finish saying this. But to quote Hillary, what difference does it make anyway?
Yeah. I'm glad you bring that up. She's so rotten and so one of the worst of all. What difference does it make? You know, this is really important, Trump-Russia collusion, that we all understand it, and the declassified documents that this book uniquely had access to at the time that it was written makes it, you know, the most important book on this issue. But we're still suffering the consequences of Trump-Russia collusion because there was never any accountability. And you've seen an escalation, actually, since Trump-Russia collusion. So, you know, it started out as a dirty campaign trick to try and help, you know, Hillary Clinton win election. And then after Trump wins election in December, it's Barack Obama who turns it into a coup, full-blown coup, which is to order the, you know, intelligence community assessment that falsely says that, yes, Vladimir Putin was trying to help Donald Trump win election. So that led to opportunities for impeachments, right? It led for opportunities for the Mueller investigation to hobble and his first term and to undermine the will of the American people. Well, everybody pretty much, actually, no, everybody got away with Trump-Russia collusion. And so 2020, you get a stolen election.
Yeah.
You go fast forward to 2024, and what do you get? Lawfare. And it's the same people that are involved in every single situation.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because I often remind this audience, if Trump had not won this last time, we wouldn't know any of this. It would have continued to be covered up, maybe uncovered, maybe 1,000+ years from now if anybody still had any interest.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of people look at this and they say, well, you know, this was 10 years ago. You know, 2016 was so long ago, but it's really not. It's still affecting. It's still affecting our lives today. And, I think that there's a big hope out there that with a new, Pam Bondi's gone, we'll see who her replacement's going to be. But, you know, we're hoping that there can be some accountability for this. They're trying with James Comey. We'll see what happens there. But, you know, there's just not a lot of hope that these people get what they deserve and what the American people deserve, which is justice.
And as you're listing names, don't forget Mealy Mouth, Merrick Garland, Mealy Mouth, the entire Justice Department weaponized against a political candidate.
Yeah, and it's so important to understand that, you know, this did start in the Barack Obama administration, right? I mean, what's interesting about Trump-Russia collusion and all of these things is they kind of start out as these Clinton scandals. Benghazi was a Clinton scandal, but Obama is so much worse than Hillary Clinton that he ends up usurping all of her scandals and making them his scandals. So with Benghazi, you know, yeah, I mean, she was guilty of lying. Hillary Clinton was guilty, of course, of not providing security when it was repeatedly requested by the U.S. ambassador over there in Libya. But it was Barack Obama who weaponized the intelligence agency to protect his reelection chances. And then it's Barack Obama who gets involved with Trump-Russia collusion. Because remember, Hillary Clinton was a private citizen running for election. Yep. She wasn't in the government. So she depended upon Barack Obama to, you know, weaponize the intelligence community against Donald Trump. So Barack Obama had to be there. And it was him who ultimately made the order that turned it into a coup.
And then there's the other thing, the meeting in the Oval Office attended by Obama, Biden, Attorney General Loretta Lynch at that point, FBI Director Comey at that point, and CIA Director Brennan. And he's telling them the Russian collusion thing, it was all a Hillary Clinton campaign bought and paid for. It's all her. And so Obama was told directly what it was, and not one person in that room was willing to go out and say, it's a hoax, it never existed, it's been a lie, it continues to be a lie. Not one of them would speak up.
No, they still pretend like it didn't, like they weren't guilty of something, that Trump-Russia collusion was real. But what's astonishing about the revelations of the declassified documents is that the same intelligence committee in the Obama administration that utilized raw intelligence, unverified intelligence, the Steele dossier, as justification to spy on the Trump campaign, well, they dismissed raw intelligence that said that Hillary Clinton was planning, you know, a plan to tie Trump to Putin to help her win re-election.
Right. You're listening to Drew Thomas Allen. He's a columnist at the Daily Signal, author of Clinton Hoax, Obama Coup, the Declassified Story of the Trump-Russia Delusion. You're talking about the declassified story. What is probably still there that we have not declassified, and what we still don't know, but we suspect?
Well, there's some redacted dates and whatnot in these documents that doesn't make it clear how early the Obama administration knew about some of these really big scandals. For example, you know, most of these declassifications that we're talking about are Russian intel memos. So the Russians had penetrated the Obama administration and other places as early as 2014. So they were actually in there for a very long time, spying on the Obama administration. And the intelligence community was intercepting during the election season Russian memos, which were basically, they were doing the job that American journalists should have done, actually. And this was intended for Putin's eyes, so it was accurate. But it told us that Loretta Lynch was had established a back channel to update Hillary Clinton on her email investigation, right? Yep. It talks about how Barack Obama's interested in making all of this go away. It's going to tarnish his reputation. It talks about all kinds of things that when you look at it, I mean, it's kind of amazing because these intercepted memos are actually incriminating the FBI and CIA. Like, it's like the Russians are saying, you know, we see what you're doing, you know? We're watching you,
right.
And all of this could have been easily corroborated. So they had to be, you know, a little bit frightened to some extent. But they dismissed all of that, obviously. Because I mean, imagine you're sitting there plotting to carry off the crime of the century, and some foreign power is throwing memos back in your faces because you're intercepting them. That's saying like everything you're doing, right?
Well, again, go back to the Obama Oval Office meeting with all those I discussed a moment ago. And Obama sitting there listening. This is a political hatchet job campaign from Hillary Clinton. There's no validity to it. And he doesn't tell them, we need to call this out. We need to make sure it stopped. We need to turn around and look at what the real facts are. He's absolutely not just passive, but absolutely supportive.
Well, and look, a lot of people got off the hook. Mark Elias was never under heavy scrutiny. Mark Elias, who was, you know, one of the lawyers at Perkins Coie at the time,
right.
He is actually the most knowledgeable person about this outside of the Russians. That's the irony of this, Larry, is that the Russian memos, the Russians themselves, the most accurate portrayal of what happened and what the Democrats and Obama administration did comes from the Russians, the very boogeymen they used to try and, you know, defeat Trump. But Mark Elias never gave proper testimony, you know, and he holds the keys to it all.
You know, in our last 30 seconds, Drew, I mean, don't forget, I mean, we did have the Russian gate papers and the Steele dossier, which supposedly would prove everything.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, 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 indeed. Yeah. Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's really important that people hold the people accountable by knowing what happened, because this is one of the greatest crimes against our country in our history, actually, and that's not hyperbole.
No, it's not. Again, I want to thank you for your time, and I would encourage folks, check out the book by Drew Thomas Allen, Clinton Hoax, Obama Coup, the Declassified Story of the Trump-Russia Delusion. Thank you very much, Drew. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Talk soon.
Yes, sir. Yeah, there's so much that we would not have known if Trump had not won an election. You do know that. Coming up, a feature of our 6 o'clock news. Many of you really like the story behind the story.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website napolistl.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Andersen, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAndersen.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAndersen.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
It's early in the hours of April 4th, 1912, and tied up alongside Southampton's new deepwater dock is the even newer luxury liner RMS Titanic. She's just completed her first real voyage, the delivery trip from her builders at Belfast. Trials completed, and all well, Titanic has been handed over to her new owners, and now she must do the job that she was designed for, cross the mighty Atlantic Ocean with hundreds aboard. For the next few days before the departure, on April 10th, feverish preparations will need to be made. Coal bunkers topped up with hundreds of tons of Welsh anthracite, hundreds more tons of pieces of meat, fruit and vegetables, thousands and thousands of bottles of beer, wine and spirits. Inside, the paint still smells fresh. The next days will be frantic, but for now, gleaming like a new penny in the moonlight, Titanic sits and rocks gently at her moorings.
And if you were going first class on the Titanic, you were going to have access to a gymnasium, a swimming pool, smoking rooms, fine restaurants and cafes, a Turkish bath, cabins that were beyond probably what many lived in. But they spent the money to go first class if they could. And then you had the others who were on board. They were in the lower holds along with the ship's crew. There were 16 lifeboat capabilities, or davits, I should say, and each could lower three lifeboats for a total of 48 boats. Despite that capacity, the ship was also equipped with additional 20 lifeboats, 14 regular lifeboats, two were different configurations, and four were collapsible. That definitely proved difficult to prepare while the ship was sinking. The U.S. Titanic, I got correction on that, the RMS, Royal Majesty Service Titanic, the British ocean liner that was going to make her maiden voyage from Southampton, England to New York City. 2,208 passengers and crew aboard. It did carry some of the most wealthy people in the world. And it carried hundreds of immigrants from the British Isles, Scandinavia, and elsewhere who were looking to come to the U.S. for a new life. It was considered unsinkable. It's like saying a plane cannot fall out of the sky. If it floats, it can still be sunk. There were ice warnings. There were numerous reports from other ships as they were encountering certain areas that were seeing some ice in the water, and then larger ice flows. So the word got passed around, but the captain of the Titanic, according to one source, he was given the information. He looked at it, kind of put it in his pocket, and went to dinner. I should also point out to you, there were 107 children aboard, most of them in third class. Those in third class, 66% were male and 34% female, and of course the children in there with them. But be first class, second class, or third class, everyone was in the same boat, literally. And then as the reports of more and more ice were being picked up, a series of warnings from other ships in the area, Captain Smith basically ignored them. Now, they kept a look, but the Titanic continued to steam at full speed. Listen to a woman who survived.
There was a very slight bump, just a little jar, nothing at all. And I went in my room. There was a second light jar, nothing of consequence. But you knew something had happened, and one man said, "Look at that, that's an iceberg, and it's a whopper. Because, you know, there's 1/8 above the water and 7/8 below. And it's blooming things all the way over the top of the ship." Thought nothing of it. We picked up the bits of ice, and most of us played snowballs.
They played snowballs, throwing the ice at each other. Maybe even chipping some off to put into their drinks. It was a minor bump, as she described it. And they did not know the full extent of the damage in the beginning. And the passengers certainly didn't. They continued to enjoy the luxuries if they were on the first or second class. And the third class, you were enjoying this, the fact that you were going to America to start a new life. But then came the final hours of the Titanic.
It's around 2:15 in the morning, April 15th, 1912, and the RMS Titanic does not have long to live. For the past 2 hours, the ship has fought a losing battle against buoyancy and gravity, and now she is beginning to give up her last ounce of strength in the fight to stay afloat. Compartments are flooded, hallways and ornate public rooms are slowly going under. It's now just a matter of time, and the clock has already started. The ship doesn't have much time left. What's about to play out is some of the most awful, harrowing drama to ever happen at sea. This 45,000-ton ocean liner is about to be violently swallowed by the ocean, and the hundreds of people clinging desperately to her for survival are about to endure a series of horrible events.
And it was just beginning. That audio and some of the other you've been hearing is from a documentary, Ocean Liner's Design, detailing what was happening in advance of hitting the iceberg and then what happened to the best they could determine after the iceberg was hit. As we said, there were 1,500 estimates vary on that, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Died. So that meant there were survivors, up to 700 plus. Survivors and their stories you still need to hear. So there is more to the story and behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
I hit the water with a terrific crack. Luckily, I didn't hit anything when I dropped in. There were bodies all over the place. And then I looked up at the Titanic. So the propellers were right out of water. The rudder was right out, and I could see the bottom. And then gradually she glided away, and that was that. That was the last of the Titanic. I didn't want to die, I mean, and I didn't see much chance of living, but I was gradually getting frozen up. And by the grace of God, I came across a lifeboat, and they pulled me in. And there was a fireman dead in the bottom. There was about a foot of water in this boat. There was another man who seemed to be trying to get away from it again. I don't know what was the matter with him. They were tying him down. And the rest were women and children. And I sat on a seat, and who should be? I sat next to Mrs. Clark, the girl I'd put into a lifeboat. And she said, the first thing she said, have you seen my husband? So I said, no, I haven't, but I expect he'll be all right.
We don't know if he was all right or not. At that point, turned out he was among those lost at sea. That was a crew member who had done what he could to help people get into lifeboats, and as the Titanic suddenly raised sharply to the sky and then dropped back down to the water and then started to raise again, he thought, I've done all I can, so he jumped into the water. Temperature of the water in the 30s, wouldn't take long for hypothermia, 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30, before you would die if no one was there to help get you out. There was a 13-year-old girl, Ruth Becker, who told her story.
The Titanic was going down very slowly, and these people were standing there at the decks, at the railing, wishing somebody, I suppose, would come and rescue them. But finally, it did go down, and all the people who were standing at the decks, at the railing, jumped. They jumped and they screamed and they yelled and for help. And of course, nobody came to help. But that was a terrible, terrible time when I can still hear them jumping from the deck and screaming and yelling for help. And the boat finally went under the water. There was nothing left. We rode away just as far fast as we could because these people were screaming and yelling, and they wanted to get into our boat. We had about 65 or 70 in our boat. We couldn't take any more. Finally, we were out away from the disaster and away from these people.
She and a couple of siblings and her mother did survive. But yes, they wanted to move away from the mob of people because if they all tried to get on board, they would have been underwater. The Carpathias was the ship that showed up out of all the others that were radioing for help. They were the closest, as it turned out. And they took 3 days to reach New York after leaving the disaster. Initial reports were confusing. The word was Titanic was being towed to port. The White Star had reported a message was received that the Titanic had sunk, but all passengers and crew had been transferred. And later the word came back No, that was not correct. And when it came to the dead, some other Canadian ships joined to go retrieve the dead if they could. Each ship had embalming supplies, undertakers, clergy. 333 victims eventually recovered, 328 retrieved by Canadian ships, five more by passing North Atlantic steamships. One said, "We found so many floating dead, my crew got exhausted physically and mentally." Bodies recovered were preserved for transport for some, and others they gave them a burial at sea. One in five of the 1,500 victims were recovered, their bodies. By June, the last of the search ships reported life jackets supporting bodies were coming apart, releasing bodies to sink. Of course, it was thought for a long time that the Titanic would all be found in one piece, but over the decades and more recent exploration, evidence that it, in fact, had split apart, probably near or at the surface, before sinking to the seabed. The debris field measured something like 5 by 3 miles, hundreds of items. And the last resting place of a number of the victims, bodies and clothing consumed by sea creatures and bacteria, shoes and boots proved to be inedible, the only sign that bodies were once there. The sinking of the Titanic, this date, April 15, 1912, after hitting an iceberg that, according to that one witness you heard, it just seemed to be a little bump. Not that bad, not that disastrous at that point. There were some who had wanted to make that trip, but there'd been a labor strike of some type, and so some decided, well, we'll wait and take the other ship, some other ship. We won't go this time. You know, they were counting their blessings. The story behind the story tomorrow. It happened before I was born, but it had a major impact. In fact, involved a relative. The 1947 Texas City disaster. Second hour still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.